Also, to the question for clarification, if I'm in the ashes and have mucus, translate that into what foods I need to reverse.
Right on. Okay, I'll answer that. Okay, so the question was, if a person is tending towards anxiety and being upset and easy to be taken out of balance, and also if the body produces mucus and allergies and that sort of thing, what type of foods do I eat to balance that? And this question is precisely what I'm trying to overcome with education. There is not a single answer to it. You need to eat the foods that bring your body into the right range. So if you are let's just take an example. If you're a fast oxidizer, you need to switch into more fats, more proteins, less fruit, and less carbohydrate. If, however, you are the slow oxidizer, you need to switch into very little meat, a lot of fruit, a lot of salads, mostly vegetarian. More likely than not, you would do better off on the vegetarian diet because that's the more common body type, but there's no guarantee. What you really need to do is definitely make a change of where you're at right now. You know, number one would be to try and detoxify that which causes toxicity in your body. That would be probably heavy metals. We have used things like zeolite very successfully to detoxify things. More likely than not, the culprit is the grains, because those are simple carbohydrates. Nine out of ten or eight out of ten allergy problems and nutritional problems that we run into are caused by the grains. You know, pasta, pizza, hamburger patty, bread, those sort of things. They are usually the biggest culprit in contributing to mucus, nasal drip, stuffy nose, allergies, that sort of thing. Because in all of these notes that I have mentioned just prior, I was talking about complex carbohydrates and fruits. The most popular inexpensive foods are simple carbohydrates. You know, simple carbohydrates would be things like high fructose corn syrup, sugar, wheat, starch, potato. Those are the simple ones. They offer the least amount of nutrition and the most amount of damage. Let me give you another example of what works versus what doesn't. Something that really works well is called food combining. Food combining is a method which separates the proteins from carbohydrates in a single meal. The reasoning for this is the following. In order to digest proteins, enzymes that help digest proteins require a fairly acidic terrain. Enzymes that help digest carbohydrates require a fairly alkaline terrain. If you mix these two in your stomach, it creates an impossibility. You need to be both acidic and alkaline. That's sort of like mixing vinegar and baking soda. That's how you make a volcano in your science project in your high school. In a human body, it feels like heartburn. It feels like the food is staying in the stomach too long. It's not digesting properly. And most people end up taking a, Maalox or something like that to pacify it. The remedy for all this is food combining, which means that you will have only one concentrated food on your plate. So a good meal would be steak and salad, or potato and salad, but not all three. Or it would be a stir-fry with rice, or stir-fry with chicken, but not all three. So, of course, this makes a complication because pizza is a badly combined meal. Spaghetti meatballs is a badly combined meal. Hamburger is an impossibility. A sandwich with meat is an impossibility. So you need to re-educate yourself quite dramatically. It's not that difficult, you know. You can make salad rolls. You can take romaine leaves and fill them with meat. just no buns. Or you can, have an egg omelet, no toast. Of course, the stir fries work, steamed vegetables work. The second part of the food combining regimen is that you don't eat fruits on top of meals, you eat it before meals. The main reasoning on this is the following. Fruit is not digested in the stomach, it's actually digested in the duodenum, past the stomach. So if your stomach is empty and you eat some fruit, it passes through very easily, no problem, and it gets out of the stomach within 20 minutes. If, however, you already have a meal in there and you eat fruit on top, now the fruit sits there and ferments. That's why if you eat, a bowl of peaches on top of a complete dinner, more likely than not you'll be burping and having indigestion. If you did it in the reverse order, you wouldn't have any such problem. And the third major rule of the food combining lifestyle is that at least two-thirds of everything you eat is in water-rich, uncooked state. So that means raw salads, raw smoothies, steamed, lightly steamed, or lightly stir-fried counts. Two-thirds by volume. That's actually not that hard, I tell people you can eat the concentrated food about the size of your hand. So it would be, about an 8-ounce steak or a 1/2 of a chicken breast, or if you close the hand to make a fist, it would be about 1 large or 2 small potatoes or 1 bowl of rice. That's the amount of concentrated food. With that, you can have a gallon of salad if you can eat it. All right, anybody out there?
Yes, how does one get rid of toxins, heavy metals? And I was told that one reason I'm not feeling well is that I'm full of toxins, but what do I do?
Yes. Okay, just for everybody, if you didn't hear it clearly enough, the question was, I'm told I'm toxic. How do I get rid of it? Well, the most common toxins are heavy metals. We have mercury that comes usually from dental amalgams, but also in the air from the chimneys of the coal-burning power plants. We have lead. People who lived before 1970, we used to get exposed to a lot of lead with the leaded gasoline. As kids with lead paint in old houses built before 1978, I think, there was lead paint in the walls. You get cadmium from cigarettes. You get nickel from dental work. There's many opportunities we can get heavy metals. There are a couple of natural ways. One of them is a combination of cilantro and chlorella. Cilantro, or the Italian parsley or coriander, same plant, different names, has a great ability of knocking out the heavy metals from their hiding places. Chlorella, a thick-walled algae, has a very good ability to bind these metals into its thick cells, the skins. So in combination, cilantro and chlorella have been quite successful at scrubbing some of the toxicity. A much more successful method is using clays. You can use bentonite. You can use clays in baths, or you can use them internally. I have used zeolite, that's spelled Z as in zebra, E-O-L-I-T-E, quite successfully. Actually, I should say this. You can find answers to all of this on the website that I manage. It's called Life Enthusiast. And I'll tell you, it's www.life, that's L-I-F-E, dash, enthusiast, E-N-T-H-U-S-I-A-S-T .com. And you can look up these things under health concerns. This would be metal toxicity concern, or you may have allergies, or you may have arthritis, or you may have liver congestion, whatever. Whatever the concern is, we have answers to most of these common chronic disease problems. Anyway, so the zeolite is very, very effective at trapping the heavy metal toxins by the fact that it's electronegative in its overall charge, and it has a bunch of electronegative sites within. It behaves sort of like a sponge. All the heavy metals are electropositive, so when this electronegative zeolite encounters the heavy metal molecule, it just attaches itself and doesn't let go. So you supplement that, you add it to your drinking water, and it just comes out of you. It's normal elimination. Another good method is sweating, whether it's through sauna or vigorous exercise or some other means that you can get yourself to sweat, and hot baths. Did that work for you?
Yes. Do you have these products on your website?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And any one of you who needs to talk, you can also call us 1-866-543-3388. Or the website, life-enthusiast.com.
Oh, I have a question.
Okay.
And the question was, you had mentioned three rules to the food combination, and I think I missed the third one.
Okay, I'll repeat it. One second. Okay, food combining. Rule number one, separate proteins from carbohydrates, or better yet, only one concentrated food on a plate or in a meal. Number two, two-thirds of what you eat is in water-rich state, as in raw fruit, raw salad, or lightly steamed or stir-fried, but not cooked to, how should I say it? I don't have nice words for it. And the third rule, would be fruit only before food, not after. That's it. Those are the three. And, of course, we can, have some more suggestions, like do not eat after 6 or 7 o'clock or at least 3 or 4 hours before you go to bed, things like that. I forgot to mention, all of that is also written up on the Life Enthusiast website.
I have a question for you.
Yes. Go ahead.
Whether you're a protein type or a carb type, it would seem that vitamins and minerals that are good for one type would not necessarily be good for the other type. Could you address that issue?
Yes. Yeah, great point. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't remember to bring that up, but yes, this is a very important question. And that's just for everyone to hear it. Are all the vitamins the same for the two types? Are they important? And all the other nutrients. So let's start from the nutrition. All the bodies require similar nutrients. So all the vegetables are much needed. Things like dark green leafy vegetables, salads, broccoli and kale and dandelion if you like it, and all of the good stuff that you know is good, chlorella, spirulina, alfalfa, all the powders that would make up good green drinks, all of that is highly beneficial. Your body needs a lot of pigments. They come in all manner of colors, yellow, blue, green, red, orange. The more colorful, the better. Turmeric, with its intense yellow, is very good for being an antioxidant. Tomatoes, lycopene, good for protecting this and that. But here's an interesting thing. For instance, with vitamin C, it could be either the ascorbic acid or the ascorbate, like calcium ascorbate. Well, if you're one body type, calcium ascorbate is what you need. If you're the other type, it's the ascorbic acid that you need. And typically, people with cancer are told, you need vitamin C. And they get sold calcium ascorbate, and they eat that, and that's exactly the wrong kind of supplement. It actually makes their blood even more off the kilter and gives even greater terrain to the cancer. You know, osteoporosis. One body type requires more calcium. The other body type requires more magnesium, potassium, and manganese. So if you're the body type that would be eating more meat, you probably need more calcium in pure form. If, however, you're the vegetarian type, you probably need magnesium, potassium, and manganese as a supplement to reverse or prevent osteoporosis, or at least calcium bone loss. Again, there is a great variety, and you probably need to try some way to find supplements that have an awareness and a understanding. We try to explain this, you know, like if your blood is too alkaline, you need to acidify it. If your blood is too acidic, you need to alkalize it. So we can, just going back to the test, using the sugar and potassium test, you can determine whether you're, oxidizer type as opposed to the sympathetic type. The oxidizer type can use the most common dietary guidelines, easy to identify people. If you're on the sympathetic, parasympathetic, or endocrine system, your body is much less predictable, and you probably will need to spend some more time and effort to get your metabolic type clearly determined. I mean, I've gone to the lengths of subscribing to several of the metabolic type of tools that are sold on the internet, and you know, the inexpensive ones, I found nothing short of, well, I don't want to say useless, but very, very inconclusive. It didn't really help any. Only the serious ones that cost $600 or $700 and, you know, take you multiple steps to determine the exact type is that you actually get the true values. But I'm not advocating that you have to do this. You know, you can really get a pretty clear idea of which type you are just by what responses you have to the nutrition that you eat. And just that alone is going to save you the trouble. You know, that alone, as soon as you start maintaining the correct pH balance in your blood, your health is going to improve dramatically. Okay, I'm back in the open mic again.
If you're following all the food combining rules and eating for your type, and you take a digestive enzyme, is there anything you can suggest for acid reflux?
Yes. Okay, the question was, you're doing everything right and you still have acid reflux. What's going on? The typical problem is lack of chloride in the body. The hydrochloric acid that the stomach needs to digest the food is combined on the spot. Hydrogen ions are easy to come by. Chloride ions are not. Chloride comes into your body in either sodium chloride, which is the table salt, or magnesium chloride, which is the magnesium type of bitter salt, or potassium chloride, which is the type of salt that's sold for water softeners and the likes. Anyway, the idea here is this. You could start eating about a quarter to half a teaspoon of whole salt, like real salt, Celtic salt, or Himalayan salt, in a glass of water every morning. Or you could be taking baths with about a quarter cup of the magnesium chloride. Once you start doing that, the content of your body's, or the level of your body's chloride is going to increase, and you will now have the digestive power to digest the foods. Okay.
Thank you very much. That was a great suggestion that I didn't think of.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And you wouldn't have tablets, and would you?
Sorry, I would what tablets?
You wouldn't bother to supplement with hydrochloric acid tablets. You just take the Himalayan salt.
Well, you know, you can certainly do it. Beta-HCL, hydrochloric. Yeah, that will help you. But you can certainly do it the natural way with the salt.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Sorry we spoke over top of you. There was this man speaking.
Yes, sorry.
Yes, you say take a lot of salt. What about the things we're hearing today that we need to limit our salt to?
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah, let me answer that. Okay, so here's what happens. When you are stressed, when your adrenals are really stressed, you produce a lot of cortisol, which is the hormone that's causing the retention of sodium in the human body. And that, when you retain sodium, that's when you get higher blood pressure. So the problem isn't so much the intake of sodium as is the retention of it because of the cortisol. So to a person who's got that, I would recommend learning some relaxation techniques, you know, meditation, hypnosis, or sweating. You know, any activity that will make you sweat, sauna is great, infrared sauna, or, you know, just the old-fashioned hot rocks steam sauna, or just anything that's going to make you sweat. Racquetball, hot yoga is a popular thing that people have started doing. It's really, really good for people who suffer from high blood pressure caused by high sodium. You know, when you sweat, you eliminate huge quantities of sodium. In fact, to the point where you actually need to start supplementing salt again. In fact, I don't know if one of you remembers, well, I used to, as a young man, work in a physical job where we would work in the sunlight, sweating. You know, like I need to drink at least a gallon of water a day, and we would be handed out salt tablets every day to prevent cramping. Because if we didn't take the salt, we would start cramping. We were getting rid of the salt so fast by sweating. So, full circle. In a diet that's rich in protein, one needs to have sodium to help pull the metabolites of protein digestions out of the cell. So, if the person is eating a mainly vegetarian diet, you do not need to salt your food. If, however, you're eating protein-rich food, salt is most welcome and most required in order to balance and detoxify your cells. So don't be afraid of the salt. Be afraid of the stress. Well, it looks like we're nearing the top of the hour.
I have one more quick question for you here, Ben.
Okay.
Is there a way we can download a recording of this meeting or download a copy of your notes?
Very well. Excellent. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody, for being here today. Judging by the questions, I think it has been helping. The website where you can find this information is called Life Enthusiast. That's www.lifeenthusiast.com and then /teleclass is where you'll find a recording of this class. Actually, I've saved a recording of a previous one that I did some months ago. It's similar to this. And when the recording is made available of this talk, I will post it there as well. There is a newsletter that you can subscribe to. The appropriate one would be either the member list or the digestive. There's a bunch of education, and, you know, any one of you who wishes to get a personal consultation, we're available to answer your questions. We do that quite regularly. And our hours are 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific time, so that would be 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. So these would be my parting words, unless somebody wants to say anything.
No.